Yeah, it's always interesting on Zoom because when you say good morning, you expect, I mean, you assume there is a response, you know? In church, when you say good morning, everybody, everybody says, oh, good morning. So you know people are listening. No, I believe you guys are listening. I have your attention, but it's just not normal, you know, to say good morning and
Good morning, Victor.
thank you. That really helps. That really helps. Yeah. So I think it's also a learning for me because when people say good morning, I just say good morning on, you know, while muted, I assume everything is fine. So maybe I would consciously do that because if this is happening to me, it's probably happening to other people too. Yeah. It's good to see your faces, most of your faces. And this morning I will essentially be looking at two verses or three verses primarily, which I have characteristics I feel I am still yet to grow on, you know. And I'll start by asking, no, by telling us something that happened in our family group on Friday. In our family group on Friday, we try to answer questions like, how can we be more like Jesus? How can we be holy? You know, what are the things? Is it possible? And how do we go about it? And yeah, we had lots of thoughts, you know, being holy like God. Is it possible as a human being? You know, we also referred the sermon that Narek shared a couple of weeks ago about how, you know, being perfect. Is it possible? You know, some say it is possible for us to be, but maybe not on this sinful earth, all the happenings. You know, some say with God all things are possible. Some say, you know, it's a lot of dynamics. And some say it's not also performance oriented. God is not like Victor Hopo that checks and says, oh, he's a 99% holiness, so he's now closer to me. You know, God sees the heart, you know. And I think coming from me, who grew up in a very performance-oriented atmosphere, society, church, you know, especially church, you know, I grew up thinking the more I do, the more I am loved by God, the more I feel more spiritual. Like my spirituality, I just saw a message. Let me just read it. Oh, okay. All right. I thought my spirituality is directly proportional to my work, what I do, which is a gray area. You know, it's, I mean, I wouldn't say do not walk, do not perform action, because the book of James says that show me your faith without deed, and I'll show you my faith with what I do, you know. But there is a scripture where that caught my attention, you know, during the week, and I wanted us to look at that. How will you know a spiritual person? Will you know a spiritual person by the performance, things they do, or by the fruit of the Spirit? Will you know a spiritual person based on the gifts of the Spirit? You know, if you can remember 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Corinthian church and the issue they had, you know, I can speak in tongues, I can prophesy, I can do this, you know. They had all the gifts, but the church was, you know, some kind of church. They had their challenges. Or is it by having the fruits of the Spirit? And so this particular scripture I want us to read, I know you are all familiar with it. Please turn your Bible with me to Galatians chapter 5. We usually read this scripture when we're studying the Bible with people. I remember very vividly, especially verse 19 to 21. Galatians 5, verse 19 to 21. And we don't have to read verse 19 to 21, but verse 19 to 21 talks about the act of the flesh. That's the sinful acts that are obvious, fits of rage, jealousy, discord, all that. So when we ask people, you know, we tell people, you know, you shouldn't be like this, you know, because when you have the Holy Spirit, you shouldn't exhibit this kind of characteristics, right? But also, I noticed, we mentioned it to disciples that, oh, the fruit of the Spirit is in Galatians 22 to 23. But do I consistently refer myself back to this? And what I want us to do this morning is I'll just go through all these fruits of the Spirit, and we'll look at their meaning, maximum of a scripture that refers to them, just to remind us, because I'm doing this to remind me personally and ask myself, in what way have I been exhibiting this characteristic as a disciple? Do I have this gift? Also, what I want us to do is a small exercise personally. You don't have to, do not feel compelled to. When we look at every single gift, if I would not just to think of one person that has this gift and just write it down. You don't have to, and just write it down to yourself. Just write it down. When I say this particular character, when I say hunger, what do you think about? We're not going to be looking at that, by the way. We're looking at the good fruit of the Spirit. But when I mention this particular, who comes to your mind? Because when I was preparing this, believe you me, some people, some of you, your faces came to my mind, and I wrote them down. And I would embarrass you by calling your names, for those who I think. When I think about kindness, I think about this person. When I think about faithfulness, this person came to mind. Aside reading the theory of what we should do, it's also good to have living examples and also celebrate them. So, like I said, do not feel obliged to write the name down. But if you can, I think it helps you to put it into flesh. I mean, put it into how do I say it? Proper demonstration by a human being. So even if I don't have this gift, this fruit, this is someone I should emulate. This is someone I should want to be like. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Can someone read in German, verse 22 to 26? Kann jemand auf Deutsch das lesen?
I can do that.
Yes,
That's
please.
okay.
Thank you, Melody.
You're welcome. Verse 22 to 23, isn't it?
Yes, please. Verse
Okay, I'm.
22, you could just read to 26, then we'll now focus on 22 and 23.
Okay, I'll do that. Ich lese aus der Hoffnung für alle Übersetzung. Dagegen bringt der Geist Gottes in unserem Leben nur Gutes hervor. Liebe, Freude und Frieden, Geduld, Freundlichkeit und Güte, Treue, Nachsicht und Selbstbeherrschung. Ist das bei euch so? Dann kann kein Gesetz mehr etwas von euch fordern. Es ist wahr, wer zu Jesus Christus gehört, der hat sein selbstsüchtiges Wesen mit allen Leidenschaften und Begierden ans Kreuz geschlagen. Durch Gottes Geist haben wir ein neues Leben, darum wollen wir uns jetzt ganz von ihm bestimmen lassen. Prahlen wir also nicht mit unseren vermeintlichen Vorzügen, denn dadurch rufen wir nur Kränkungen und Neid hervor.
Vielen, vielen Dank, Melody.
You're welcome.
So this is so good, the response. So we've seen, I mean, I'm sure we are very, very familiar with the scripture. So the first fruit of the Spirit that we'll be looking at is love. And there are many, I mean, this is the only fruit where I just thought, you know what? Instead of looking for the dictionary meaning, I'll just use a scripture because there are lots of definitions online. So I just thought it would be just good and very, very explicit to see what love is like in a scripture. And I'll just read 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 to 7. Before I read that, just a scripture I want us to refer. We can just write that down. We don't have to read that. It's 1 John 4, verse 8. The Bible said that whoever does not know God, because God is love. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. So that means love is very important. In fact, among the fruit of the Spirit, it is the first on the list. It is chief. And there's a scripture where it actually talks about what love is like, what love characteristic of love, you know, is. So without looking at the dictionary at all, if we look at the scripture, we'd have a clearer perspective of what this love, which is very, very crucial, is. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 to 7. I'll read this in English. If I speak in tongues of men or of angels, but do not love, I am only a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts, it always hopes, and it always perseveres. And when you think about a loving person, and that's the question I'm going to ask you now, this is where the little exercise comes to mind. Who comes to your mind? It doesn't have to be a disciple. Who do you think exhibits this characteristic? This person is loving. And when, you know, for me, I know some of you, and if I do not call your name, it doesn't mean you're not loving, you know, because my perspective is very, very limited to the people I spend time with. And I have not spent time with everybody, you know, so it's going to be very subjective. But I have interacted with some of us, and I know there are some people I feel like I wish I can be loving like this person. For example, even though she's not here, Marina. Sometimes I feel, man, I wish I can be just so loving and so loving, you know, like Marina. You know, when I there was a time I used to be invited by, I mean, it's not that they don't invite me anymore, by Melody and Falco for movies, you know. It's not that they don't invite me anymore, like I said, you know, some dynamics with the apartment and all that. I'm sure we'll still have that in the future, more of that. You know, and sometimes when Melody serves, you know, and I'm like, oh, man, and she's like, are you all right? Do you need more? I'm like, I wish I can be as in touch with people, you know, I can be this loving like that. It's not, if you come to my house, if I give you a meal, that's it. And we'll watch a movie together, you know, and we play video game. Yeah, that's fine. I don't have to check on you like 3, 4, 5 times in 1 hour, you know. So when I think about that, those examples come to mind, and I wish, I pray I can be more loving, you know, like them. I just gave 2 examples. I am sure there are more, you know, but I would want us to personally, because you know the disciples you have spent time with, you know the people, the human beings you have interacted with, and you know the people that have this characteristic that you think they are worthy of emulation. So to yourself, you can write them down, you know, on your small notebook. I type mine. I don't write mine. Yeah. The second characteristic in Galatians chapter 5 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. The second one is joy. Joy. What does it mean to be joyful biblically? And also, without having too many dictionary meanings, I just I just looked it up, you know, I looked the scripture that refers to it that makes it, you know, clearer. I'm going to read from 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 to 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 to 18. The Bible says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. To rejoice means to be joyful. And if the Bible says we should do this continuously, that means it's a good thing, irrespective of the circumstances. And while I was looking up this, there are some people that I actually come to mind with me. There are times I'm usually joyful. I mean, there are times I'm usually happy, but not always joyful. And I know that at times I am very, very cranky. But there are some people I've never seen them cranky before. I don't know how they do it. But have you guys ever seen Masha, you know, cranky? Never. She's always joyful. Masha is always joyful. Masha is always, you know, and that's how I gave you. She's just, and I want to be like that. I don't think Masha does not have problems. I think she has also problems. I think she also has challenges. In fact, when she shared, you know, the last time at Andre's, you know, what they were going through with the school, I was like, wow. They're going through, you know, she has a handful too, but she's joyful. And I want to be like that. So I wrote Masha's name down. I also noticed Mariana during our family group on Friday. Mariana said something about, you know, getting angry. And in my mind, I was like, I told everybody, I said, Mariana ever get angry? I mean, I don't know. She said she gets angry. But every time that I have had the opportunity to interact with Mariana, she's always joyful. I mean, when I mean joyful, joy with F-U-L-L, the joy is so full, you know? So I wrote that down. Like I said, this is my unlimited, you know, examples, because these are the people I have interacted with. You know the disciples, you know the people you have interacted with, and I want you to pen, when it comes to mind about joy, who is joyful? Who is an example to me, you know, in joyfulness, in being joyful? The next one is, so we've talked about two now, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. The next one is peace. And the dictionary meaning of peace is to be free from disturbance. And if there's one thing I think I really, 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 really lack, is peace. You know, sometimes, I mean, most times these days, lately, I'm so worried about many things. My brain is just calculating things on its own. You know, even without problem, my brain creates the problem. You know, like creates several case scenarios. But being peaceful is to be free from disturbance, to be tranquil. As we also write these names down, I want us to also think about how I have been peaceful this week. The scripture that came to mind in peace, for peace, is John chapter 14, verse 27. John 14, verse 27. This was Jesus talking to his apostles, you know. He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." This week has been a very, very trying week for me because I haven't had to see a doctor because I have not had peace of mind. You know? And it's not because I don't want to have peace of mind. It's I think because I am used to worrying. I'm used to, you know, disturbing myself with things that might not necessarily matter for now. I'm always anticipating the future, thinking ahead, projecting, but from what the Bible is saying here, it said that Jesus told his disciples, said, do not let your hearts be troubled. I'm asking you this morning, are your hearts troubled? Are you like me? Or are you at peace? And the best example that came to mind for me personally from my interaction is a brother here this morning. It's Boris. I have interacted with Boris several times. I've told him many problems. And for some reason, he has a way of just saying, okay, it's not as bad as it seems. maybe, and he's I'm like, for him, and sometimes when he tells me what he's going through, I'm like, man, you're so chilled. He for some reason has a way of handling it. Maybe Boris is pretending. I don't know. Just kidding. But when it comes to being peaceful, I think he's an example for me personally. I want, be at peace, go through storms and just trust God. I've had very healthy walks with Boris, and at the end of the day, I feel better because of his approach, to it. He would not panic. He would say, okay, this is, he would prefer solutions, prefer recommendations, and he would say, let us pray about it. So for me, that's Boris. For you, it might be someone else. For you, it might be Vlad. For you, it might be, Michaela. Just, I know you all know the disciples who you should be like in this, the disciples who you should look up to, or the people who you should look up to. And I think it's just healthy, just for me, the way I did it. It'd be healthy if you can also, pen it down. It doesn't cost anything anyway. Yeah, the next one is it's forbearance. Actually, I will merge two, forbearance and self-control, because I mean they're both, how do I say it, very, will I say similar? So I'll match forbearance and self-control, because self-control is like a subset of forbearance, to not make things more, yeah, because they are similar, don't mind me. All right, so the dictionary meaning of forbearance is patience, self-control, restraint, and tolerance. The scripture that came to mind is Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32. The Bible says that it is better to be patient than powerful, better to have self-control than to conquer a city. Sometimes I think I lose control in argument. I mean, I don't do it often anymore, but there are times when I can be provoked in arguments to get angry, and I'll be like, man, you don't understand what I'm saying. The person, you don't understand what I'm saying. I'm saying, you don't understand anything. It's like, who understands who? And yeah, self-control is a very key characteristic. I think it compounds patience, compounds tolerance, compounds restraint. So that's why I just mentioned it with forbearance. And most of us, I think, to a reasonable extent in Germany, are very self-controlled. I think the society, compels you to be self-controlled. In Nigeria, I was telling Prince yesterday that one thing I think I miss hearing in Nigeria, was it yesterday I told you? I think, but maybe during the week, is, do you know who I am? In traffic. Oh my goodness. At least once in a week you hear that, because I mean, you have 21 million people living in this tiny city, and they have to go through two or three arterial routes, and then they bump into each other. and you just see the beasts in people. Someone just comes down and says, "Do you know who I am?" Do you? And the other person says, "Do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? Do you know who are you? You are, you know." You know, you find out we're both nobody, but you know, the emotions take over, the ego take over. And that's why the Bible says it is better to be patient than powerful. You know, forget about my might. Forget about who I am, you know. It's better to have self-control than to conquer a city, because the damage is already done after anger. You can't fix it back. So self-control is very, very key. I saw a video during the week, and it was about a man and a boy. The boy gets angry, you know, his son gets angry easily. And his father said, "Whenever you get angry, on this plank, you should hit a nail on the plank." You know, and the boy did. Each time he got angry, he would hit a nail on the plank. And before the end of the week, he had made lots of holes, you know, on the plank, because he got angry a lot. You know, so I mean, a lot of holes with the nails. He had hit many nails on the plank because he got very, very angry. So his father now, the one wanted to work on him not getting angry, because he promised his father that he wouldn't get angry. So his father said, "For each time you are triggered to get angry and you do not get angry, remove one nail." So he wanted to like work on the opposite. He was getting angry, he was hitting the nail in the plank, and now he will be removing the nail. Like, "I didn't get angry today," you know. And he worked very progressively. In like a week, he was able to remove all the nails, which means he successfully overcame the anger, which is good. But his father said, "Look at the plank. What do you see?" He said, "He sees holes. Have you noticed that the holes are still there?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Because when you get angry and you do not control yourself, these are the kind of holes you make. And you cannot, even when you overcome your anger, you know, even after, you know, things have changed, after everything is better, you've already created some holes, you know." So self-control, all I'm just saying is that self-control is very, very key. And no other person comes to mind, my personal, I mean, for you, it's going to be someone else than a brother hoodlum that we have here. His name is Brother Ella Igochi. I have never seen Ella, you know, I've seen Ella in some critical situations. We've had some hot arguments, but for some reason, he has a way of maintaining his cool. Maybe he goes inside and goes to hit his head on the wall. I do not know. Ella, I think, to a reasonable extent, is someone I should emulate in terms of self-control. In terms of self-control, it would be my hero. For you, like I said, it would be someone else. It might be Prince, even though I don't think Prince has self-control. Just kidding. It might be Melody. It might be anybody, you know. But I would want us to write this down so that you can also put these characteristics with people, you know, you need to be like, you know, you need to work on or improve to be like. The next one I would like to also merge to is, let me just read that scripture again. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So I'll take kindness and goodness together, because I was just, when I was checking the meaning, they were so similar. I said, you know what? I'm just going to match it, just like the way I merged, you know, forbearance and self-control. And the dictionary meaning of both is between having or showing a friendly, generous, and considerate nature. And one scripture came to mind, and it's Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 to 10. Galatians 6, verse 9 to 10. Can someone read this one in German, please? Galatians 6, verse 9 to 10.
I can read it.
Yes, please.
I have a question, though. You noted the scripture for self-control.
Yes, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32.
And this one you noted it for which?
For self-control and forbearance.
I got it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Ich lese aus der Hoffnung für alle. Lasst uns also nicht müde werden, Gutes zu tun. Es wird eine Zeit kommen, in der wir eine reiche Ernte einbringen. Wir dürfen nur nicht vorher aufgeben. Solange uns noch Zeit bleibt, wollen wir allen Menschen Gutes tun, vor allem aber denen, die mit uns an Jesus Christus glauben.
Vielen, vielen, vielen Dank.
You're welcome.
You know, and I mean, this is very clear. I think my perspective, I can't be questioned. It's highly questionable. I believe all disciples in our church are good. I believe so. I've never met we are not perfect people. We've never claimed to be perfect. But I think we are all, good people, but there are some people that I think I've shown some examples that I feel I should share about. For example, the Nageskis, when they consistently, open their house for all of us to worship, that is goodness. I think that's goodness being practicalized. The Polish also, when they consistently open their house, even though they'll be, they've moved now or they are moving now, and we miss, their flats, but they also open their flats, for all to come and, relax, have devo, even when they are not even in town, they leave their flat. I think that's kindness and that's goodness, Similarly, yes, it's so, like I said, I think all disciples in the sort of have this characteristic. So, but I just think we still have to cover it because it's among this fruit of the Spirit. But it's good where you also personally write this, to say, I know this brother, that I know this sister, and she's kind, she's good. Yeah.
Also Boris?
Boris, that's a huge question mark.
No asking.
Actually, Boris's wife is so kind, Isabella.
Mm, yeah. Good way to put it, yes.
Yeah, because I can't forget one of the best pizzas, homemade pizzas I've had in my life. She was so, because two became one, according to the Bible, we'll give Boris a pass because our wife is kind and good. So, yeah. All right. Thanks, Vlad. So the next one is faithfulness. Faithfulness. And the dictionary meaning is the fact or quality of being true to one's word or commitment as to what one has pledged to do or professes to believe. I was discussing with, faith is not something we're not familiar with. We can read the whole of Hebrews chapter 11 for faith. Faith is the assurance of what we hope for and the certainty of what we do not see. Hebrews 11:1. And I was discussing with Michaela yesterday. We were talking about, Habakkuk. She was talking about a favorite scripture in Habakkuk. One of our favorite scripture in Habakkuk. Okay, yeah, that's correct, actually. And it was on, was it Habakkuk 3:17 to mention? And I said, the one that came to mind is on faith is Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, because it's like Habakkuk is like, it's like a complaint actually to God. Like, look at what is happening, all this injustice, all this stuff, but the just, maybe I should just read it. I like the way he came and concluded saying the just, that particular text, the just will live by their faith. Habakkuk, just a second. Mm. these guardian demons now acting up. Okay. See, the enemy is puffed up, his desires are not upright, but the righteous person will live by his faithfulness. We live in a world where things do not go the way we want it. When I hear podcasts every morning, I'm just, what kind of world do we live in? Where the women in Taliban, in Afghanistan, who were in a robotics competition a couple of years ago in the United States, those women literally have no hope now in Afghanistan. They're just stuck. They're scared. Women who used to lecture are now hiding. It's crazy. And when you look also, there is so much incoherence in terms of justice. I don't know who I was talking to yesterday. I was talking about the post I saw about this is very disputable, about the next Superman who is going to be bisexual, you know. And I see a lot of tolerance, you know, that the world creates for the LGBT, you know, groups, which I do not oppose. I think people have their own fundamental rights. I do not support it, but I would not oppose it. But I wish, I was telling someone, I said, I wish such tolerance was extended, you know, also to racists. If we can create room, you know, for gays, if we can create rooms for transgender in the industry, you know, how come nobody said, hey, when are we going to have a black Superman, you know? And that's Preach. The kind of world we live in. That's the kind of world we live in, you know? It's a crazy world, you know? Moral injustice, social injustice, a lot of economic injustice between nations that have and nations that do not. You know, you have a Switzerland who is the best producer of chocolate in the world and does not have a single cocoa. You have Côte d'Ivoire, who is a manufacturer of cocoa, and they're not benefiting from all the manufacture because the cost of cocoa, of producing cocoa, is crashing, but the cost of the price of chocolate is always, you know, stable and going higher. It's so much economic and strategic injustice. It's so, but even when I feel this way about all these things, the way Abacook felt, even when I feel very terrible about Nigerian government, which, you know, all I have is that the just, the righteous will live by faith. And I have seen disciples who have been through very, very trying times, and they've literally exemplified faith to me. I've seen them live it out, you know. I've seen God, I mean, not because they did it willingly also. Some of them, God had to, you know, use them and just push them through it and make them, you know, have faith in him. Because that's the only thing we have. Faith is the only thing that gives us that certainty or that assurance in this kind of world. If we really want to base our assurance on what the United Nations Human Rights is going to do or what the World Bank is going to do, it's not going to be fulfilled, never. It has to be on God. The first person that came to mind was Prince. I've seen Prince, you know, live out crazy faith, you know, even though God shaped him in several ways to grow his faith. But I've seen faith, you know, his faith grow. I've seen Narek, you know, live out faith. You know, I know there were times when I met with Narek very few times, and we prayed together what was going. And he was going through a lot, but he has been through that, and I'm sure his faith grew. And when I was writing this, it came to mind. I've seen Stefan, you know, pray with me several times. He discipled me for like 3 years. So, but being faithful, believing that you will pass this phase, you know, I've seen Uwa, you know, also do many things, transcended by faith, not because everything seems certain, everything is, but she's, okay, I'm just going to have faith and I'm just going to launch out, you know, and that's, those are people that come to mind. There are more, but those are the few examples, also because of time, that I can call out. So you know the people you have interacted with personally, you know, disciples that have been through situations whereby it was their faith that even pushed them. It was their faith they were hanging on to. And, you know, they are good examples. I want you to pen that down. You know, it's just good for penning sake. And the last characteristic of the fruit of the spirit, or the last fruit of the spirit, it's not a car, it's a fruit actually, it's a fruit. The last fruit is gentleness. The quality of being kind, tender, or mild-mannered. Nobody should write Victor Hopo's name in this one. Just kidding. Maybe to you, I'm gentle. I don't know. You know, I remember a few years ago, I think 2015 or so, I was in Kenya and I went for a conference, a church conference. The campus ministry sent me there. I was supposed to, you know, teach a topic or so. And I went on a date with this particular sister from, I think, Uganda. And I just did some basic stuff, you know. And she said, wow, you're such a gentle brother. You're such a gentle. I said, you don't know me. In my mind, I was like, go and ask the sisters in Nigeria. They'll be like, he's a demon. But I mean, yeah, just for jokes. But the Bible actually in Philippians chapter 4, verse 5, says thus. Philippians 4, verse 5, it says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. So we should actually be kind, tender, or mild-mannered. And there are some people that are very, very exemplary when I think about gentleness. I do not know if I can ever become like them, but I admire them. And I know when it comes to gentleness, they are on a scale where I should want to attain. The first name that came to mind is Kostia, Kostia Haugaya. Kostia is so calm and gentle. Andre Strutz is also someone who is so calm, you know, and gentle, so much gentleness. Also, Yuri came to mind. You know, I've not interacted with Yuri much, but from a distance, I just sense this gentleness. Another name that came to mind was Falco. Have you guys seen Falco not being gentle, like being ungentle? Has anybody? Yeah, even Melody. You know? So, anyways, to wrap up, the Bible said, against such things, there is no law. In verse 23b. Verse 24, in Galatians 5, now I'm reading it. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Verse 25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with this Spirit. And I think exercising and exhibiting this fruit of the Spirit is actually being in step with the Spirit, you know? So it's not about, you know, how much I can teach, which is good to teach. It's not about how many miracles I can perform, which, oh, if I do that, that'll be great. It's just this fruit that we have looked at. When we exercise these fruits, when people see these fruits, that means we are actually in step with the Spirit. And that would be the conclusion of today's sermon. I'm sure it's not like a sermon, it's just like a sermon because I just shared, you know. So I want us to ask ourselves from now and try to ponder over it. How have I been exercising this fruit of the Spirit? If I have not been exercising some, or I'm not optimal in some, I'm not very good with some, who are disciples, those names you have written that I can watch and I can also learn from and learn to be like? The next session or phase of our talk this morning is the communion. We have seen the fruits of the Spirit, and I do not think there is any single person that possesses all these fruits among us. It's possible. I mean, I know Vlad is very close to it, you know. He so humble. you know, but not all. But there is one being that had all these fruits of the Spirit. And it was perfect. You know, but still, he that was perfect was the one that had to be sacrificed for we that are not perfect, so that we can have a new life and also be like him. And this is Christ. And we do this every Sunday as he has recommended. We do this in remembrance of him. We break the bread that represents his body. And we also drink the wine that represents his blood. Please do not feel compelled to take the communion. But if you do, please God, and please do this in a worthy manner. That will be the end of the sermon. Over to you, Vlad.
Thank you very much, Victor. May I ask you maybe also to pray to conclude the communion?
Okay, yeah, sure. God, thank you so much for this opportunity to just look at verses of fruits of which you know I'm lacking, that I really need to grow in, you know, and with my brothers, you know, I can just tell them freely, knowing that none of them will have any attitude, you know, and just tell them, this is what I see. They can see me the way I am, you know, like I don't have this fruit, and I pray I have them, you know. But I have this opportunity to share with them because of the sacrifice that you have made to create this wonderful family. As we partake in this communion, I pray that we'll do so in a worthy manner, that you forgive our sins, and God, it will strengthen us and not make us weak. Thank you so much, Father, in your Son's name we've prayed. Amen. Amen.